I'm RJ Bud London. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from our temporary studios in South Kensington. Today is Thursday, the 23rd of October. On this date in 42 BC, Mark Antony and Octavian defeat Brutus's army, who then commits suicide. 1707, the first Parliament of Great Britain meets after the English and Scottish Parliaments merge. 1946, the United Nations General Assembly convenes for the first time in an auditorium in Flushing, Queens, New York. 1956, Hungarian protests in Budapest turned violent. 1973, the Yom Kippur War between Israel and Syria ends. 1983, the U.S. Embassy in Beirut is hit by a large car bomb. By the way, the biggest bomb after the nuclear weapon, the biggest non-nuclear explosion since the Second World War. The explosion killed 220 U.S. Marines, 18 sailors, and 3 soldiers. 2002, the hostage crisis in the Moscow theater. Birthdays are Gertrude Araldi, the first woman to swim the English Channel, architect Paul Rudolph, Pele, Weird Al Yankovic, Randy Pausch, the teacher who gave the last lecture. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting on our forum. Dustin let us know about the murder of a British council teacher that we'll speak about later. If you'd like to comment on the blog or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Following up on last week's story on Moscow's proposed alliance and integration treaty with Abkhazia, in the days after the treaty became public on the 13th of October, Georgia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs condemned it and its ratification as annexation, as did the president. He called on Parliament to react as well. Late on the 16th of October, Prime Minister Kharabashvili called the treaty alarming. He said if signed, it will pose a threat to the self-identity of the proud Abkhaz nation. He also said that the treaty will be directly in conflict with the Abkhaz nation's, quote, 25-year-old struggle for self-determination and recognition, end quote. Meanwhile, Suchumi is working on amending the treaty. On the 16th of October, Abkhaz President Raul Khajimba met with lawmakers. His office later released a statement to the effect that the Russian and Abkhaz sides differ on a number of clauses of the treaty, and that a working group will develop an Abkhaz version of the treaty. As a reminder, on the 14th of October, Speaker of the Abkhaz Parliament, Valery Baganba, said the Abkhaz lawmakers had a close-to-negative reaction to the Russian-proposed treaty, saying that it spelt a loss of sovereignty. On the 17th of October, Georgian Parliament passed a statement which condemns Russia's, quote, attempt to annex occupied Abkhazia, end quote, through the new treaty with Suchumi. The statement continues that if signed, the Russian-proposed treaty will create an additional threat to regional stability and significant damage to the process of normalizing Russian-Georgian relations. On the 18th of October, the State Security and Crisis Management Council met. It's chaired by Kharabashvili and later joined by the American and various EU ambassadors. After the meeting, officials said they will take measures to heighten international attention on Russia's attempts to annex Abkhazia. Defense Minister Irakli Alasania said that they will take very aggressive, active foreign policy steps. Foreign Minister Maya Panjikidze also said that it implies being more proactive and that she will make the issue a central point as she meets with EU foreign ministers in Luxembourg for the EU Foreign Affairs Council. State Security and Crisis Management Council, also briefed by the Special Envoy for Relations with Russia, Zura Abashidze, about his meeting last week with Russia's Deputy Foreign Minister, Grigory Karasin, in Prague. Although no date for their next meeting has been set, Tbilisi continues with the informal direct dialogue with Moscow. Russian Foreign Ministry dismissed Georgia's claims that the new treaty would amount to annexation of Abkhazia as unscrupulous and dangerous speculation. On the 21st of October, there was a Friends of Georgia meeting in Luxembourg in the context of the EU Foreign Affairs Council. Multiple EU foreign ministers from Germany, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Hungary, and so on expressed their support for Georgia's territorial integrity and EU aspirations. On the 22nd of October, former defense and prison minister Bacho Akhalaya was sentenced to 7 years, 6 months in prison by Tbilisi City Court. Akhalaya was found guilty of torturing prisoners in the 2006 Navluhi special operation case. He was also found guilty of abusing his authority by giving privileged prison conditions to former officials arrested in the 2006 Girvliani murder case. The court delivered a verdict of not guilty for the charge of exceeding his official authority. Akhalaya has been in pretrial detention since November 2012. He was previously acquitted in several separate cases. 7.5-year prison sentence was also delivered to former head of the military police department, Megis Kardava. He was found guilty of torture and exceeding his authority. Two other former interior ministry officials, Levon Kardava and Georgi Mazmishvili were found guilty of intended murder in the Navluhi Special Operations case. They were sentenced to 11 years in jail. On the 23rd of October, Prime Minister Garibashvili commented on the sentencing. He said that, quote, "Justice triumphed and our court has rendered an impartial and just verdict. By doing this, it once again proved that under the former government, our people were permanently subjected to inhumane treatment. They were tortured, raped, and murdered. Over the years, this corrupt regime grappled with its own people and rooted chaos and stress in the public. We don't want to deal or have anything in common with such political opponents," end quote. Batshuayi did not attend a court ruling. His wife, Ani Nadarishvili, wrote on Facebook on the 21st of October that they would not participate in the farce. She said she believed that the government would put pressure on the court and would deliver a guilty verdict. Meanwhile, Akhalaya's lawyer said that he would appeal today's decision, while the prosecutor's office said that it would appeal Akhalaya's not guilty sentence. A few days earlier, in the evening of the 19th of October, protesters supporting Batshuayi rallied outside the house of Prime Minister Garibashvili. Several people were detained by the police, including a photographer for Tabula magazine. Well, the protesters demanded that the courts be free from political pressure. Continuing on the theme of prosecution against former high-ranking UNM officials, on the 20th of October, Tbilisi City Court found former Interior Minister Vano Medvedevashvili guilty of abuse of power and for covering up evidence surrounding the 2006 murder of Sandro Ghirvliani. By the way, Justice Minister Teodosia Lukiani was the one who oversaw that case with the Human Rights Court and knows in Strasbourg and knows the details of the case quite well. Vano was sentenced to 3 years in prison. Medvedevashvili was not present at the trial. He denied the charges as politically motivated. He's already serving a prison term after being found guilty in two other separate trials. February 2014, he was sentenced to 4 years and 6 months in jail in connection with breaking up anti-government rally in Tbilisi in May 2011 when he was interior minister. He was also sentenced to two separate cases by Kutaisi City Court, 5 years on charges to 5 years on charges of misspending and bribing voters while serving as prime minister in 2012 and for infringement of property rights while serving as interior minister. A lot of those cases and imprisonments are put in Kutaisi to make it more difficult for the media to see them. Medvedevashvili is also facing criminal charges along with Misha in connection to violently breaking up protest rallies in November 2007 and for raiding the Imedi TV station. Akhalaya, the brother of Bacho, is also facing criminal charges for involvement in the Ghirvliani murder case. He used to chair the Interior Ministry's Constitutional Security, or CUDI, department. Akhalaya is currently in hiding in Greece. On the 16th of October, a Greek court refused to extradite him back to Georgia. Akhalaya's lawyer said the court rejected his extradition due to the risk of political prosecution in Georgia. Akhalaya was initially arrested in Greece in April for illegally entering the country, but was released on a 100,000 euro bail. He is the second former high-ranking official denied extradition to Georgia. Earlier this year, a court in France ruled against extraditing Dato Kezadashvili, who's defense minister during the 2008 war. As a reminder, the Ghirvliani case was previously brought to the European Court of Human Rights by Ghirvliani's mother. In 2011, the court ordered the Georgian government to pay the Ghirvliani family 50,000 euros in damages for failing to conduct a thorough and impartial investigation, but the court did not find enough evidence to suggest that the Interior Ministry officials involved were acting on superiors' orders. On Friday, the 17th of October, university lecturer Maka Tsitsivadze was shot dead by her ex-husband in the hallway of Tbilisi State University. He then committed suicide. According to Tsitsivadze's mother, the ex-husband had two drug-related convictions and was released from prison in a mass amnesty in early 2013. She said her former son-in-law was constantly harassing her daughter and that her daughter filed complaints with the police, but they failed to provide her with any protection. The case has instigated a stir and discussion in Georgian society regarding domestic violence. There are increasing media reports of domestic violence against women, women who were killed or stabbed by close male family members or committed suicide due to forced marriages. According to unofficial statistics, there have been about 20 cases of women killed in domestic violence just this year so far. People point to the patriarchal society, among other things. On the 17th of October, after the shooting at Tbilisi State University, Eka Beselia, head of the Human Rights Committee in Parliament, commented that, and I quote, listen to this. No murders are committed without reason, especially when concerning the issue of domestic violence, end quote, says Eka Basilia, and I repeat, head of the Human Rights Committee in Parliament. She was speaking to journalists a few days later. She clarified that her previous comments was not intended to justify such crimes, although it kind of sounds like that, just saying. Council of Europe Secretary General reacted to the murder of Maka Tsitsivadze and commended Georgia for signing the Council of Europe's 2011 Istanbul Convention on Preventing and Combating Violence Against Women this past June. Justice Minister Ted Tsiloukiani said on the 20th of October that the convention will soon be presented to Parliament for ratification. On the 21st of October, demonstrators gathered outside the state chancellery in Tbilisi to demand better protection for women. The demonstrators symbolically blindfolded themselves and taped their mouths shut. They demanded that the police take women's complaints about threats from abusive husbands more seriously. Public defender Ucha Nanuashvili commented that while efforts have been made to improve the legal framework to tackle domestic violence, in practice the problem is a lack of proper law enforcement. Prime Minister's office announced on the 21st of October that the government established an interagency group to address violence-related problems. It includes ministers from the Interior, Justice, Education, Healthcare, Economy, and Prison Ministries. Representatives from civil society and international organizations will be invited to the next stage of the interagency's group work. The Prime Minister also said that the government plans to present an initial draft of a national strategy of violence prevention on the 24th of October. Human Rights Committee in Parliament scheduled to hold a hearing for the next day on domestic violence with the participation of Justice Minister Tsiloukiani and officials from the Interior Ministry. On the 22nd of October, 14 people were arrested after a confrontation with police in the village of Moche in the Adigeni municipality of Samska Javakheti region. The protesters tried to prevent construction workers from working on restoring an old building which was previously a mosque. It was turned into a public community building during Soviet times. Local authorities planned on turning the dilapidated building into a library. Work began on the 18th of October. A local Muslim leaders say, since 2007, they've been trying in vain to convince the authorities to hand over the building to the Muslim community. The status of the building is an ongoing dispute and a source of protest. The local Orthodox Christians are against it. They say that since the Muslim community already has an active mosque in the village, the building should be restored for public use for both communities. Later, the same evening on the 22nd of October, members of the local Muslim community gathered outside the regional police headquarters in Akhaltsikhe, demanding the release of the detainees and accusing police of provoking the incident. The village of Moche has a population of slightly over 300 people, including both Muslims and Orthodox Christians. It's located just a few kilometers away from the village of Chela, which in August 2013 saw clashes between Muslim community and the police after authorities removed a minaret from the mosque. Akaki Machuatadze, the governor of Samska Javakheti region, insisted that construction of the library will continue. The governor has become a target of criticism. Local Muslim leaders have accused him of disrespecting them and say that his heavy-handed approach has further complicated the situation. They also have complained about the State Agency for Religious Issues, saying that the head of the agency, Zaza Vashakmadze, has been avoiding a meeting regarding the Moche Muslim community since August. Late on the 22nd of October, the Agency for Religious Issues released a written statement expressing concern over developments in the village of Moche, but said that the local Muslim community has not yet formally appealed to them over the issue. They also said that the problem should be resolved based on consensus with the participation of all stakeholders. Some Muslim leaders from Samska Javakheti came to Tbilisi to meet with the agency. For those who don't know, anytime an agency says, we never received an official request, that means that they knew what was going on but didn't do anything about it and are embarrassed about it. The NATO Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, U.S. Air Force General Philip Breedlove, is visiting Georgia from the 22nd, 23rd of April. He met with Prime Minister Khadabashvili and Defense Minister Akhalaya. They discussed how to implement the package of enhanced cooperation by NATO at the Wales Summit. General Breedlove assured that we will do our best to further develop Georgia's armed forces. Following a meeting with Alassania, he also said that the partnership that Georgia has made with NATO remains rock solid, end quote. Meanwhile, on the 21st of October, implementation of the NATO-Georgia substantive package was discussed at NATO headquarters in Brussels by Georgian and NATO officials. In an interview with Reuters last week, Defense Minister Irakli Alasania said that Georgia will not allow pressure from Russia to stop it from hosting a NATO training center on its territory to deter its plans to deepen ties with the West. He says that while confrontation with Russia should be avoided, we will never bow to Russians to a diktat from Russia on what is better for Georgia. Following up on previous week's stories on Pankisi native and Islamic State commander Tarkhan Batrishvili, a.k.a. Omar al-Shishani, in September, Kacheti Information interviewed his father, Temur Batirashvili. The elder Batirashvili talks about when his son was arrested by Georgian authorities for possession of illegal weapons in 2010. He claims that the cache of bullets found on his property as grounds to arrest his son were planted by the police. He explains the weapons were discovered in a relatively visible and open place and that no one would actually hide weapons in that location. He believes that his son's detention by Georgian authorities was unlawful. Following up on last week's story on Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili's letter in the New York Times praising Bidzina Ivanishvili and supporting Misha's prosecution. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, writes about it. Apparently it wasn't a letter after all, but a paid advertisement. According to initial reports from Tablo magazine, the article was published in the New York Times as an advertisement. This, however, has not been confirmed by English language site agenda.ge. Their contact information is provided in the bottom of the letter advertisement in the New York Times. Just FYI, agenda.ge was initiated by the government of Georgia late last year. According to the Minister of Finance, Nodar Khaduri, no money was transferred to the New York Times. Usupashvili confirmed that the article was written by him and given to agenda.ge. However, he did not know about its publication in the New York Times. Usupashvili also clarified that he did not pay anything for the story to be published. TI inquired. They discovered that the agenda.ge commissioned the Paris office of the International New York Times to publish the, and I quote with air quotes, article in the World News section, a full-page advertisement in the World News section, and the letter was a whole page that it cost approximately 75,000 euros. According to the International New York Times, the newspaper has requested agenda.ge correct the information they provided and clearly state that Usupashvili's letter is an advertisement. Agenda.ge has not corrected it. On the 17th of October, activists gathered in Tbilisi's Haider Aliyev Park near the Azerbaijan embassy in support of Azerbaijani human rights defenders currently in prison. Human rights defenders Razul Jafarov, Inta Jemaliyev, and Leyla Yunus and Arif Yunusov were arrested various times this summer. The activists in Tbilisi noted that Azerbaijan currently heads the Committee of Ministers of the Council of Europe and is obliged to fulfill all obligations for building democracy. The European Parliament Human Rights Committee said that it will send a delegation to Azerbaijan to support jailed dissident Leyla Yunus in her fight for democracy and freedom. She was one of the top three contenders for the Sakharov Prize. On the 21st of October, there were clashes outside the UNM office in Tbilisi during a protest rally. Six people were arrested. The protest was organized by youth group Free Generation. Again, protesters called for the UNM to be removed from parliament and declared illegal. They held banners reading "Murderers in Prison" and burned photos of Misha. The confrontation with police began after protesters threw eggs at the UNM office. Demonstrators said that they will hold more protests in the future. In response, UNM played the song "Misha is Cool" from the windows. As a reminder, this is not the first protest organized by Free Generation. They previously clashed with UNM youth groups Free Zone at their office. This week, Georgia marked its 26-century-long friendship with the Jewish people and Israel. An official Israeli delegation, as well as famous writers, poets, and public figures, visited Georgia to celebrate on the 20th to the 22nd of October. Georgian poem "Night in the Tiger Skin" was translated into Hebrew for the event. Also part of the festivities was the reopening of the renovated David Bazov Museum of the History of the Jews in Georgia in Tbilisi. In attendance was BI, Prime Minister Khadabashvili, Tbilisi Mayor Narmania, and Israeli Ambassador to Georgia Yuval Fuchs. The original Jewish Museum was closed down in 1951. Ilya II also hosted the Israeli delegation. During the meeting, he declared that the regions of Abkhazia and Tsumen Valley must be returned to its lawful master, Georgia, and we are boldly certain of the fact that the biggest material power that will help us in achieving the long-cherished objective are Israel and the Jews. On the 18th of October, the new EU ambassador to Georgia, Janos Herman, took office. He recently served as the EU special representative to Central Asia. He joined the Hungarian Foreign Ministry almost 40 years ago, holding various senior diplomatic positions. Lithuanian Foreign Minister Linas Linkevičius visited Georgia on the 21st to the 23rd of October. He tweeted, quote, "Good to be back in Georgia, another country whose integrity is being challenged by Russia lately. We need to stand by strongly," end quote. On the 20th of October, students demonstrated against the construction of a new gas station on the land that is part of Tbilisi State University. They demanded the Ministry of Economy find an alternative location for the petrol station. Students from the Academy of Art, who also frequently protest, expressed solidarity with the Tbilisi State students and joined the demonstrations. The company building the petrol stations, Gazvil, claims it owns all the rights to the land and is not violating any law, but they are willing to talk to the students. They said that they purchased land for 1 million lari at an auction organized by the economy ministry, that they already invested more than another million and spent months getting permission for construction. The students say they previously met with representatives of Tbilisi City Hall and the economy minister to discuss the issue of the petrol station. The officials promised to put a working group together, but nothing was actually done. President Mark Velashvili is currently paying an official visit to Japan from the 21st to the 25th of October. By the way, former ambassador to Japan under Misha Vanomachavadiani is Georgi Margvelashvili's sort of go-to guy for foreign policy stuff, and is evidently one of the reasons that BI got so ticked off at him. Georgia is hosting a month-long Day of Turkish Culture Festival. The festival, ending on the 20th of November, will be a classic music concert featuring Ottoman music at the Tbilisi State Conservatory, along with whirling dervishes performances, apparently. The President, a Georgian-French-British-German joint venture, won the Gold Hugo Prize for the best film at the Chicago International Film Festival. The President is a satire drama about a deposed dictator played by Misha Gomiashvili, on the run with his five-year-old grandson. The film is set in an unknown country but was shot in Georgia. I am really excited to see that movie. I've heard it's great. Last weekend on the 18th of October, there was a flooding in western Georgia caused by rains and subsequent overflowing rivers. People were evacuated from their homes. On the 22nd of October, there's a Ukrainian support rallies in Tbilisi, Batumi, Zugdidi, organized by the National Platform, an umbrella organization uniting more than 100 NGOs. Ukraine is holding snap parliamentary elections on the 26th of October. Parliamentary news. On the 17th of October, Parliament confirmed two Supreme Court judge candidates nominated by President Mark Velashvili, Nino Bakakuri and Zurab Znerlishvili, were approved with 93 and 99 votes, respectively, for a 10-year term. Their nominations were voted down by the Georgian Dream Majority Parliament in early August. Mark Velashvili renominated the same candidates last month. Also on the 17th of October, Parliament passed a resolution concerning Abkhazia's alliance and integration treaty with Russia, with 80 votes, calling it an attempt to annex Abkhazia. The statement was proposed by Georgian Dream. It was not supported by UNM lawmakers, who were pushing their draft resolution calling for Georgia's withdrawal from informal bilateral talks with Russia. Their draft was voted down by the Georgian Dream. In Tbilisi Azarebi this week, journalist Irakli Tabliashvili talks about Russia rebuilding the Dagestan-Kakheti road that we talked about a week or two ago. People in Georgia have various views on the project. Some believe it will be a future threat for Georgia. Others believe it will be a great opportunity for the Georgian economy, creating a new and easy link to Russia and the Russian market. Tabliashvili looks at the negative consequences of the project. He argues that any gains from ease of goods exported to the Russian market is less valuable than the country's security. He calls on the Georgian government to instead reinvigorate other frozen projects that can be more beneficial than exporting vegetables to Russia. The meme this week is a video of a regular Georgian woman speaking about violence against women as part of a public opinion poll conducted by Palitra TV. She believes that 99% of women deserve to be beaten daily because most Georgian women have become insolent towards men. She continues that women should have less freedom of speech because it is disobedience to their husbands. The video was widely shared on social media and received lots of negative commentary. Things to read. Nina Jobe writes for The Balkanist on the new residency law and problems it causes for Georgians, Javakheti Armenians, many of whom have Russian citizenship in order to work there periodically. The latest infographic from Jumpstart Georgia on violence against children in Georgia. Journalist Anna Nemtsova interviews President Mark Velashvili for Foreign Policy Magazine's blog Democracy Lab, much in common with the Forbes interview a few weeks back, but a good portrayal. Der Spiegel has a profile on Omar al-Shishani, the Pankisi native and Islamic State commander in Syria. It's in German, for those of you who can read German. Gives a brief history of his radicalization. All in 2010, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, kicked out of the military, and his mother died of cancer, which his father said made his son lose all faith. Interesting new little tidbit they report. Apparently, Shishani has contacted his father in Pankisi again to say that he now has a daughter. Monica Elena for Eurasianet has another piece on a series of Georgian educational system. Now she examines advancements in inclusive education and in public schools integrating students with special needs. Christina Matha writes for Transitions Online on the culture of private tutoring in Georgia, the only way for students to pass their university entrance exams. It's a great article and a huge problem rarely reported on, a very big deal that exacerbates inequality in Georgia. Madonna Gasanova has an interesting report for The Financial on condom use in Georgia. In a poll, 300 participants conducted by The Financial, 90% of respondents stated that their church would strongly disapprove if they know they used condoms. All these things to read posted in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is $8.9 million. This is the amount in Lottie paid by drivers in Georgia for custom formatted license plates between the 14th of August and the 17th of October of this year, according to information from the Ministry of Interior. Amidani Movies will be playing Dracula Untold every day. Dracula Untold every day until the 19th of October, 10:30 p.m. Georgian folk ensemble Rustavi will perform on the 31st of October, Tbilisi Concert Hall at 7:30. Get tickets at bilitebi.ge. From the 2nd to the 8th of November will be the Tbilisi Wind Festival. I assume they mean musical instruments. Performances will be at the Rustaveli Theater and Tbilisi Conservative Recital Hall. For information, go to the site TbilisiWindFestival.com. Photographer Robert Kappa's photographs from Georgia while traveling in 1947 will be on display in Kutaisi until the 17th of November at the TBC Bank Gallery. The work of French jazz photographer Christian Rose will be displayed at the Georgian National Museum, 11 Rustaveli Avenue in Tbilisi, until the 30th of October. For those in Georgia, don't forget that this weekend, the 25th and 26th of October, is Tbilisova. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tfieldpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tfieldpod.com. And from 1949, we'll finish with Roy Milton, who, by the way, although usually considered an African-American, was a quarter Chickasaw Indian and was raised on the Chickasaw Reservation in Oklahoma. Especially for tfieldpod.com listeners, this is Information Blues.
When your left eye jumped and your flesh began to crawl. You can bet your bottom dollar, not a mule's kicking in your stall. No, you can never tell what's on your woman's mind. No, you can never tell what's on your woman's mind. She can be hugging you and kissing you, queen you all the time. She flags my trade, I'm sure gonna let her ride.